Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the free zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome and good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, unregulated militia patriots. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We're broadcasting from Patriot-held territory in the heart of the American Redoubt. And it is great to have all of you with us. So, Lady Liberty, good morning.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Yep. Wiffle bats are out.
Yes, that's right. And this has become one of our listeners' favorite days, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of my favorite days, too. Yeah, I love it.
Yep, for sure. Oh, you know, speaking of Wiffle bat, I ran across something in the Epoch Times that I thought was pretty astounding. What he had to describe was something that is being distributed amongst the Chinese soldiers in Tibet. Now, apparently, what they have here is something called self-destruct helmets.
Oh, yes.
where if he feels like he's cornered, he or she, if they feel like they're cornered and
They're about ready to get captured.
Yeah, they're about ready to get captured. They can press this button inside their helmet, and a bomb actually goes off in their helmet and kills them.
Wow.
And it says he can activate the self-destruct function himself. This can maintain his dignity.
Well, outstanding.
So, but that's not all. Their superior officers actually have like remotes.
Oh yes,
I'll bet. And they can cause the self-destruct helmets to go off as well at will.
How convenient!
Like, you know, if I don't know why, you know, it's just hard to envision. Actually,
now I wonder, strictly for the purpose of helping the entire Chinese military maintain their dignity.
That's right.
I'm wondering if there is a way that we can hack those little remotes,
right? Yeah. Seriously. Think how much ammo we would save, and think of how much of their dignity we would save by offering them that.
Absolutely. That's a wiffle bat on steroids there.
You know, I've heard about different ham operators turning on their gear when they first start,
right,
and their neighbor's garage door opens.
Yes.
Right? And so, you know, apparently there's some kind of possibility.
All you got to have is the right code, the right frequency. There's got to be a way of hacking that.
I'm really excited about those helmets, to tell you the truth.
In the military for training, we had these attachments, laser attachments called Miles gear, right?
Yeah.
Military laser simulated, I can't remember, but basically you fire blanks and that pop sets off a little laser burst from your M4, M16,
yeah,
or any machine gun that it's attached to. Well, the platoon leader, the company commander had what's called a God gun. And it was, it looked like something you scan like at Walmart, you know, the little hand scanner thing.
Right.
But he could point it at a group of soldiers and kill them all. Right.
Yeah.
And of course it sets off your laser equipment. It starts this ear piercing, high tone that you have to have a key to turn it off. So you're basically dead. And when this happens, it disables yours from firing. To turn the ear piercing, alarm off, you have to remove the key from your weapon and put it in your harness to turn the thing. And as soon as that happens, it turns the laser off. So you can't shoot, right?
Right.
I mean, you can shoot blanks, but it's not going to emit a laser. So, yeah, I imagine these Chinese commanders have got the God gun.
Right.
So they could just take out whatever troops they need to if they're going to go to the other side,
if they're going to get
captured.
See, and that's the thing. That's what I keep speculating about, too, is, you know, boy, if I was a Chinese soldier and I was coming to, you know, quote unquote, invade the United States, boy, I'd be like, woohoo, strip off that gear and just blend, You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, like, you didn't see me. I was never part of the Chinese military. Well, apparently that these little self-destruct helmets have that feature for that reason as well. There will be no abandoning ship, right?
Oh yeah, you can't. If you try to take your helmet off, it explodes.
Well, I mean, just if they see them all retreating or maybe not being as brave and fierce as
right.
they're supposed to be, well, they might just get the little button pushed.
That's what the Russians did, and like in the movie Enemy at the Gates, they had to rush with one bullet in each rifle, one rifle for two men. So the man with the rifle falls, the guy without a rifle picks it up. And they've got, I think they have a clip of, and it really was a clip, not a magazine.
Hence the name Russians.
Yes, they were rushing. And if they retreated, their own commanders would gun them down with machine guns.
Oh my gosh.
So, maybe that's the Chinese. They'll attack. And if they try to retreat or they're not aggressive enough, they'll just blow them up in place.
My gosh. Wow. There's a great leader to follow.
There's a great leader to be run out in front of running toward the enemy.
No kidding.
Wow.
Why did the Chinese guy cross the road, right?
I don't know.
Well, because if he didn't, his commander was going to blow him up, basically.
His helmet would explode. Yep. All right. Enough of that jovial silliness.
Yes, that's right. Well, we've got all sorts of different things to whiffle in China's direction, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've also got a clip here from basically our own U.S. nuclear board, the elite of the elite in the nuclear department.
Oh, yeah, trying
right?
to figure out what to do to not escalate
or not to escalate. That is the question.
Yes.
Well, yes. And so we've got quite the lineup of information today, and we'll get to all that in segment two. But should we just go ahead and
let's get into the word of the day before I get started on this transgender dysphoria thing that's sweeping the country?
That's right. Yes,
I have a lot to say about that
as well. We sure do. Okay, so the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, which read, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Mm. And that's it. And the interesting part there is most of us know that first sentence, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord."
Right.
But, you know, by and large, we don't know how that ends. And he's basically pointing out the very, very simple logic that the notes down here describe in this passage. It says, "Come, let us reason together." Isaiah declares that God is willing to cleanse and forgive if Judah will come back to him and submit to his holy provision. God is gracious and forgiving, but sinful people must choose between obedience and judgment.
Yes.
And so, and just like verse 20, I mean, it is very cut and dried, very black and white with the Lord.
Yes.
There is no gray area here, especially verse 20 where it says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword." You know, the sword of division, basically,
right.
You know,
right.
Cut between the yes and the no.
Yeah. It's interesting because oftentimes we hear this in Christian circles, "Come, let us reason together." And they'll quote the scripture, "Come, let us reason together."
It's one of my favorites.
Right. But the proper context, God wasn't saying, "Hey, let's have a debate."
Right.
You know, let's lay out your side and my side. And
well,
let's...
actually he was, but in a very, very frank way.
It was not much of a debate. It was more of an ultimatum.
Well, you know. Right. But he's saying, like, in any regard, let's discuss the facts and the logic of the situation.
Yes.
If your only two choices are obedience or judgment, and you pick judgment,
right.
That is called foolishness.
That's called poor reasoning skills.
Yes, exactly. Now and then, let's start again. Come, let us reason together,
right.
You fool.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because who would pick judgment over obedience.
They did.
Apparently, lots of people.
Yes.
And it's basically the underlying problem with human nature, you know, is
right.
Is we constantly choose the wrong thing. We constantly tend to follow disobedience.
Yeah.
You know, and so
I suppose if you were going to paraphrase that, come let us reason together, it's like, okay, sit down. Here's the deal. I'm going to lay it out for you, and I hope you get it.
As simple as it gets.
Yes. So, and they thought, oh, he meant reason together. Like, you know, we could get to present our side, too, and, you know,
right.
Debate with him.
Well, you know, and if you were going to have this discussion with the left, the problem with them would be they have no sense of logic or reason whatsoever. They're just pure emotion.
Oh, there is no reasoning.
So you can't, you know, if somebody is strictly emotion, good luck getting them to obey.
Right.
And be obedient, because they've got about a bazillion what fors and why would I's, and, you know, if
yes.
This is, you know, that's how it goes when you're ruled strictly by emotion. There's absolutely not a logical bone in your body.
No, there isn't. And that's, you know, those are the tactics that the fear tactics, right? Like, you know, we don't need to have child pornography, sexualized material in our public schools. Oh, that's so draconian. Oh, you're going to, you know, cause harm to children that are struggling and trying to find out what their identities are, and then, you know, lead to suicide. And of course, it's going to be the Republicans' fault, right?
That's how they would like to paint that
right.
Insanity.
It is just, it is so twisted. Now, you know, this shooter, which I guess now we're back to male, female, it was, or her, it, whatever, started off as a female and then identifying as a male, but it had a this plan to take out to carry this attack in a mall targeting families,
right?
And you see, that's what the enemy hates. This is clearly demonic. Hates families, hates American, you know, conservative values, our principles, our founding principles,
right?
The whole foundation of our culture, the hate.
Well, and what's very interesting about this whole case, it's horrifying, first of all. It's not interesting. It's horrifying what
yes.
happened. And that monster that did that, that's the pronoun that I would use. That would be a child-killing monster. And that is the pronoun that is correct.
Right.
And lo and behold, I ran across this from the Epoch Times here, where they're describing the FBI disinformation is radicalizing trans groups. So listen to this little bit here. The FBI published skewed numbers on violence against trans people, which is now being used to frame a narrative of trans, quote-unquote, genocide, right?
Yes.
The release of the information sparked pro-gun movements in the trans community and a quote-unquote trans day of vengeance, which was making headlines just before the recent shooting in Nashville, where this transgender former student shot and killed 3 children and 3 adults.
Yes.
And so can I even just explain how much that chaps my hide
yeah.
to hear that is the result of FBI disinformation?
Yes. And which is totally different than misinformation. You know, misinformation is, oh, this male walked in and shot up this place. Oh, it turned out to be a female. It was misinformation. You were misinformed. Disinformation is intentional.
Yep.
It is intended to deceive with a end objective in mind.
Right.
A socio-political objective is the end to disinformation.
Right.
And it is evil. It's criminal. And whoever's involved in this, I'd like to learn more about that. They're culpable
yep.
in these things, and they need to be held to account. Well, it goes right back to, you're not going to fix that problem other than completely dissolving the FBI.
Right.
You'd have to rebuild it from the ground up.
It just needs to be dismantled
yep.
and defunded and
yep.
completely. That building needs to be vacated of all people.
Yeah.
And just
leveled.
Ended. Yep.
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 Absolutely. And everybody in the top probably 3 tiers of the FBI needs to go to Guantanamo as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, exactly.
So
starting first with Christopher Ray, who was attending that WEF in Davos and coming back to institute WEF law and suggestions and listening to this stupid UN Dracula that said don't just ignore the voters. That was what Secretary General at the UN said. He actually said to all of the nations attending, when you go back home, just ignore your voters.
Right. You're on a mission. You have a higher purpose.
Yeah. They listen to the UN and the WEF now.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah. Because us peons don't really know what's good for us. We need to just eat bugs and own nothing and be happy.
Yes. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
No, this is America.
Yep.
It doesn't fly.
Well, and so again, everyone, the word of the day was from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20.
All right, we're thrashing some commies on this Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and hopefully you guys are having a safe commute out there. And also that you are well healed. You should be packing right now. It's a dangerous world. All right, speaking of that, this segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level, preparing for the challenging times that we live in, and that's prepping2-0.com. And we'll be back with segment two of the morning commute right after these messages. Stay right there.
At the end of 1949, the USSR created the GDR, and 4 months later, this new state created the Stasi, with one objective: to keep only one party, the SED, the Socialist Unity Party, in power. It was a Marxist-Leninist party that was to the left of what we call the left today. All communications were monitored. The Stasi read letters and listened to telephone conversations. And special monitoring was reserved for investigating potential dissidents. Their homes were bugged, of course, without any warrants or controls. The citizens of the GDR were completely lacking in basic rights.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Just one message there, not messages. But here in segment two, it's brought to you by JesusAppears.com, getting rapture ready, the return of our king. We are certainly living in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, the violence and sexual deviancy that we were told are one, just a couple of the signs of the times. Get ready. Our king is returning, and you can learn more about that at JesusAppears.com. Lady Liberty, a couple things here lined up with segment two.
Yes, we sure do. And, well, everyone, welcome back to Wiffle Bat Wednesday, of course, where we're belting them out pretty hard today.
Yeah.
but they've got it coming. Hey, they're communists, and they kind of like this kind of rough and tumble stuff anyway.
Yes, they do. The left is also spinning out this picture of Trump holding a baseball bat right next to a picture of this district attorney Bragg in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is not helping his campaign. He's sabotaging his own campaign. Oh, no. No, no. His numbers are just going to go up.
Yep.
That was not a wiffle bat, by the way, either.
That was a
Louisville Slugger.
Right.
But, of course, that was just a photo op for American-made products. It was actually at the factory where they make those bats.
Yeah.
But somebody took the picture and put it next to Bragg, and now they're all crying and whining about it.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, let him cry. I'm sorry.
I love seeing the president with a bat in his hand.
Especially and for Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Hillary or Nancy either. I was talking about actual American made hickory Louisville Slugger.
That's right. Don't want to mix that up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, now we were talking a little bit about China before the break here, and I just wanted to point out real quickly that there's something that they've been doing that I was not aware of. You were, but mm-hmm. I was not. This came as news to me, so I wonder how many of you will be surprised by this as well. Apparently, China's new super island builder is set to roll in the South China Sea.
Yes.
And, well, apparently they've had, well, Taiwan has had to kick out over 4,000 of these island builders since 2020. And what they use these things for, they're like super dredgers.
Yes.
And they've actually built, they've dredged up enough soil from the bottom of the ocean floor to create actual fake islands.
Yes.
And they've militarized these things.
Right. Landing strips and forward operating bases and everything else. Yeah.
Yep. They are fully equipped and they're almost like stepping stones across to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And Taiwan is going, you can't do that. That is, you know, that is extremely escalating. And so Taiwan is saying, you know, what do we do? If we respond to this, then it gives them the excuse to escalate their attack towards them.
Right.
And if they do nothing, those Chinese are just sneaking right up to their very island like stepping stones. Right. I just can't get
just
over
wake
it.
Wake up and there's another island out there on the horizon. Yeah, they've got 200 of these big dredging barges.
Yeah, 200 of them.
Pulling up soil from the bottom of the ocean and building up these man-made islands all over in the South China Sea.
It says ever since 2006, they have built 200 more of these dredging vessels with plans to build a never-before-seen dredger super island builder equipped with a 10,000 kilowatt reamer.
And so that's cool. I think that's a cool idea.
You know, I have to hand it to them. That is a cool idea.
If I owned a country, I would do that. I'd make islands. I'd just keep adding more islands off my coast.
No kidding. You're just creating more land that you own. You know,
huge tourist destinations and some pretty cool military bases, you know, quite a ways off your shore.
Well, and apparently since 2013, China has constructed more than 2,470 acres of land in artificial islands.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
2,400 plus acres of land.
Tax free. Just free islands, free land.
Man, that almost makes me want to do that.
I know. Well, you can't because the EPA would deny.
Yes, the EPA would shoot you on site.
Put that island back.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got still stuff going on the border, and Senator Ted Cruz just ripping into Mayorkas.
Oh, this is awesome.
This is just beautiful. It's something you need to resign. And of course, what does the globalist, communist, Leninist do? Acts like a victim.
Yep.
Yes, my feelings are so hurt. Oh. I won't even respond.
Oh my gosh.
Listen to this.
If you had integrity, you would resign. And I will tell you, the men and women of the Border Patrol, they've never had a political leader undermine them. They despise you, Mr. Secretary, because you're willing to let children be raped to follow political orders. This is a crisis. It's a disgrace. And you won't even admit this human tragedy is a crisis.
Claiming 1 minute chairman time, Mr. Secretary, would you like to respond to any of those questions?
What the senator said was revolting. I'm not going to address it.
Your refusal to do your job is revolting.
That's awesome. Your refusal to do your job is starting to lose control in the chamber there, but that's exactly what he needs to be told. He was told the truth. That's revolting. I will not even respond.
Talk about an absolute square up evasion.
Oh man, yeah.
He did not even acknowledge the question.
He's a master at it. Yeah, and because it's not about the issue. It's about his feelings being hurt, so I'm not even going to respond.
He knows darn well exactly what he's talking about.
Yep.
And so for him to feign like, oh, that's revolting. Where did you ever come up with that? That's disgusting.
Yep.
Who cares what he thinks about what that is?
He
needs to answer the question.
This regime has surrounded themselves with that kind of ilk. And he only has one option, resign.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it.
That's infuriating to listen to that little guy. He gets paid how much?
Too much.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's something like $250,000 plus per year.
If he makes $25,000 a year, he's getting overpaid because he's not even doing his job.
Yep, exactly.
So, anyway, we've got this other clip, too.
This comes from the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee that held a hearing yesterday on regional nuclear deterrence that you're going to find very interesting. Go ahead and listen now.
At today's hearing on regional nuclear deterrence. Today's hearing may sound somewhat esoteric, but it's deadly serious to our national security. We've debated strategic deterrence extensively in this committee, and in fact, the 2022 Nuclear Posture Review concentrated on our nuclear use policy, modernizing our triad so that we might ensure that we are never coerced by a near-peer adversary such as Russia or China. The question we ask today is about regional nuclear deterrence. In other words, how can we ensure a conventional conflict with a near-peer adversary or a conflict between two nuclear-armed adversaries does not escalate, does not resort to the use of nuclear weapons, which then escalates into a broader nuclear exchange? This is the nuclear escalation ladder that theorists have worried about for decades.
Okay, and then he gets into the Ukraine conflict and how that could escalate there with low-yield weapons. So I will add the rest of that at the end of this. So our Podbean listeners who download today's show will be able to listen to the second part of his presentation there.
Right, and so the question with this conversation and its extreme importance is that Are they talking about the use of low-yield nuclear weapons to start or thwart a nuclear war? Because it says here, what is the impact of low-yield nuclear weapons? Well, deployment of low-yield nuclear weapons would lower the threshold for introducing nuclear weapons into a conflict,
yes,
thereby increasing the likelihood of a nuclear war. Ding, ding, ding. There it is for all the people trying to push nuclear war and depopulate the Earth and get it down to numbers they want.
Yeah.
And so an increased likelihood of a nuclear exchange would weaken national security, to say the least. And the right. definition of a low-yield weapon means 10 kilotons or less, but it is still a nuclear weapon, like you could launch from a missile from a submarine.
Or field artillery also would be, you know, those low-yield battlefield tactical nuclear weapons.
Right.
And they're saying if they retake this ground that's been annexed by Russia, then Russia might feel backed into a corner where they have to use those. And
that's right.
So very, very interesting situation that we're in.
Yep, exactly. Important questions to be asking.
Yep. All right, guys, stick around after the show for our Podbean listeners. You'll be able to listen to the rest of that presentation. Otherwise, join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.
Today, Ukraine is an example of regional nuclear deterrence. Russia's strategic triad is certainly something that the United States must take account of in terms of its involvement in the conflict. Meanwhile, our extended NATO deterrent has prevented Russia from intervening directly with NATO allies. However, that is not the end of this dilemma. Russia has a doctrine referred to as escalate to de-escalate, which is when they feel that they are in danger of being conventionally overmatched and their country's existence is at stake. It will involve first using low-yield weapons to stun any opponent. Will taking back Crimea trigger this doctrine? Will taking back some of the property, the land that Russia has allegedly annexed, trigger this doctrine? We know Russia is running low on conventional munitions. If Russia enters into a conflict with a NATO ally, will they quickly resort to low-yield weapons? I hope today's hearing informs us as to whether our deterrent is appropriately tailored for such a regional conflict. Are we self-deterred with our high-yield arsenal of ICBMs and SLBMs? There's a debate about bringing back a low-yield submarine-launched cruise missile, that which will deter Russia in a regional conflict. Would it deter Russia in a regional conflict? These same questions apply to China and Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Today's witnesses have all thought about these questions, and many of them have served in government enacting policies on this issue. It's important that we hear and learn from them today so that we're better informed as we prepare for for our discussions of the National Defense Authorization Act later this spring.